This is The Takeaway. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. Sometimes in our digital age, it can feel like very few big moments in life are left unrecorded, whether by email, text, or tweet. But how does all of this new technology fit into events that are considered to be inherently traditional? How does it work in a wedding? WNYC's New Tech City producer Dan Tucker recently went to a wedding and heard this speech.
Now through Gmail and Josh being dumb enough to blind copy me on all of her emails, I was able to uncover the email string for you all to hear now.
Okay, the man talking, Brian Crow, pieced together the courtship of Kate and Josh all through emails and GChat messages, and he delivered an extremely revealing toast at their wedding. Just to set it up, Josh first met Kate when his company placed an ad in Time Out Chicago, where Kate worked.
This is Josh first. Kate, it was a pleasure meeting you today, and thanks again. And thanks again for making some time for us. It really means a lot to have Time Out on board. If you're in town, you better be at our New Year's party. I'll buy you a drink. Winky face. This was the first initial string after they met at her office. And then after that string, Josh forwards me the email. And he just sends it to me and goes, I think she wants me.
Oh, the intimacy of these emails makes me squirm. But months later, we checked in with the groom, and he says he's thrilled with the detailed documentation of his budding love for Kate.
I think it's the coolest thing ever that you have this. It's really kind of a snapshot or a look in on a relationship that you really can't get.
Thanks so much to Dan Tucker, New Tech City producer, for exposing his friends' lives on The Takeaway. And while this kind of public sharing works for some people, it doesn't work for everyone, particularly when it comes to a wedding. So joining us now to weigh in on how wedding traditions are changing in the digital age is Anna Post, author and etiquette expert and the great-great-granddaughter of the queen of etiquette, Emily Post. Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Anna, have you ever been to a wedding where emails were read aloud?
You know, funny enough, I have. I was actually a bridesmaid in a wedding this past April, and the matron of honor, when she got up and gave her speech, she read an email from the bride describing sort of the first date impressions with the groom. It was read more sweetly, let's say, than the tone that the person giving the speech that we just listened to put onto, layered onto it.
Did it feel appropriate? I mean, could it make guests feel uncomfortable by sharing such intimate moments? Because it's funny, the older people I told this story to about that speech, they thought it was appalling, and the younger people felt it was wonderful.
You know, the one that I heard, I think, would have been reviewed as wonderful all around because it was, oh, I just met him. He was so sweet. We had a really nice time. I think I like him. I mean, it was very tame. It was very sweet. It was very awe-inspiring. And, you know, it didn't have more of that kind of, hey, I think she's hot kind of vibe to it, which is where I think the older guests are getting uncomfortable with it.
Right. Well, and it's not just emails, right? There are other digital dilemmas that are unavoidable at weddings these days, like tweeting and posting photos, right?
Yes, this is one that I'm hearing a lot about right now. Often I'm hearing about it from the couple's perspective. How do we prevent people from tweeting or posting photos? They're especially concerned about this ceremony, and I think they have more ground to stand on there than at the reception, which can almost feel like a reunion for some of the other guests, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the ceremony, I think it's very fair to ask in a variety of different ways that people refrain from posting or even sometimes from taking photos with their smartphones. You know, you walk down the aisle and instead of a sea of smiling faces, you have a sea of reflective phones looking back at you instead. And I can understand couples wanting to limit that.
Yeah, I was just talking to one of The Takeaway's producers and she was saying it was so weird to see herself on Instagram, you know, basically minutes after she was married that people sort of stuck those photos up there.
Right. And, you know, when you think about things like Twitter, who are you tweeting? All the people who weren't invited. I always have to wonder with that one a little bit. But, you know, as a guest, it's your job to really be part of the moment. And I think the ceremony especially, put it away and pay attention. And, you know, for the couple, in part, it's great. You know, you often don't get your photographs from the photographer sometimes for months later. So you can see some photos right away. But there is also a loss of privacy with it that you don't necessarily have control over anymore. So I think it's a give and a take. And a lot of it has to do with how people do these things.
So is it acceptable then for the bride and the groom to officially set boundaries? I mean, I recently heard about a couple that banned their guests from bringing their cell phones because they didn't want anyone, they wanted everyone to look at them, not be texting under the tables at the reception.
My take, you know, the ban on cell phones, I think, goes a little too far. For one thing, you most likely have parents there. And in this day and age, you're not going to be able to cut that babysitter tie via the phone. You're just not. And, you know, instead, what I like to see is multiple requests, you know, both on the ceremony program, somebody standing up and making announcements about, you know, please have all phones away during the ceremony. Huh. By the time you get to the reception, I think that it's a losing battle at that point.
Once the alcohol starts flowing, nobody's going to stick to that probably. But what about so other digital elements when it comes to wedding planning, like electronic invites or online registry requests? Do you feel like sort of, you know, I had so much fun, I have to say, choosing my wedding invitations all those years ago. They were so beautiful. They were letterpress. They were real. You could hold them in your hands.
I'm a big paper person. It sounds like you are too. And a lot of other people are as well. And do I think there's a day where we will have a etiquette world that says okay to digital invitations? I do. I don't think it's soon, though, and here's why. When you send out that wedding invitation, two things are happening in terms of digital impact. One is, are all of your guests using email regularly? Is there any chance it's being caught in a spam filter? Is your grandmother going to be able to receive this and understand it and not be so overwhelmed by wondering why is this an email instead of a printed invitation that she's not actually excited for the big event? Guest experience is part of what the invitation is about, and I don't think we're there yet with all generations of guests. Someday I think that that may change. The other thing that happens is when you physically get that paper in the mail, I do think there's still a difference right now. We get a lot of bills, a lot of junk mail, maybe some magazines that you actually want, and then all of a sudden you get this heavy packet of paper. That tells you not just, ooh, it's nice and it's paper, but it tells you that we think this day is a really big deal. And when you reduce that to an email, when we get so many and it's usually about, you know, backyard barbecue next weekend, I think it puts it into a category that says maybe we're not taking this really as seriously as we're going to want you, our guests, to do on our actual big day. So think about the message you're sending to your guests, and I'd still recommend paper for now.
Anna Post on the digital age and weddings. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Anna Post is an author and etiquette expert. And we're asking you, how has technology changed your romantic relationships?
This is Ashley calling from Vancouver, Washington. 4 years ago, my boyfriend at the time said the words, I love you, for the first time via a text message, and it worked for us. He's now my husband.
And we got some great stories about relationships that bloomed online. From Ocala, Florida, I met my soon-to-be wife on an online dating site rather than through conventional means, and we only lived 5 minutes apart for years without ever meeting. And then there were some not-so-great love stories. From Dallas, Texas, we got this text message. Without the internet, my husband would not have found a girlfriend online, thousands of miles away. Well, we know how technology has changed our relationship with all of you. Give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Anoush Zomorodi, host of WNYC's New Tech City, in for John Hockenberry, and this has been The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.